Welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Tuesday Morning Show as we just march boldly on into spring and summer. I'm Phil Huff. I'm joined again today with my co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Oh, good morning, Phil. You're looking a little sun burnished. Have you been getting a little? Yeah.
Well, of course, you know, that's a combination of sunbin and all the sawdust that you spit up from the other end of the crosscut in my face. I had to wipe it off. It's probably a rash.
That's true, but you'd better explain further, Phil. What were we up to over the weekend?
Well, Julie and I had the great opportunity to join about 10 other people in a training put on by the Idaho Trails Association to certify project leaders in crosscut saw operations. And so we went down to the Evans Landing Trail and we cleared out, by my best estimate, probably about 30 trees. Some of them really complex, interesting, big, heavily weighted, full of tension and bind. It was a fun day, wasn't it, Julie?
It was, except that my arms feel like it was 60 trees, Phil. And yes, it was a great learning experience. We had a good time and really got to know a lot of people and learn everything there is to know about cutting with a crosscut saw and understanding how not to get it pinched. It was fun.
I also know who I want on my axe throwing team at the Turvan and who I don't want.
Good point. Well, enough of this nonsense. We've got an important interview this morning, Phil. And without further ado, I would like to introduce our guests this morning. Their names are Justine Murray and Matt Connery. They're here today to talk about hiking the Centennial Trail for the Ethan Murray Fund. Good morning, Justine.
Good morning.
Great to have you. And good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Great to have you both here.
Why don't we start with a little deeper dive into both of you have some deep roots here in Sandpoint and to both the trails world and some of the things we're going to talk about in regards to the Ethan Murray Fund. And I feel like I know you so well, I would probably take things for granted and not share the right amount. So Justine, why don't we start with you and introduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Justine Murray. I moved here from Northern Wisconsin about 16 years ago. I have two children, moved here with my two children, Ethan and Cora. Ethan was in fifth grade and Cora was in third when we relocated here. We moved here to enjoy the outdoors, the mountains, everything it has to offer here, the beauty. Found it on a road trip and knew we had to move here. I own La Chic Boutique in downtown Sandpoint. This May, I celebrated my eighth year in business. I offer gifts and women's consignment clothes.
8 years. Wow. That's gone by in the blink of an eye.
Yes, it has.
Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Matt Connery. I'm also a transplant from Wisconsin, but we moved here back in 1978. I grew up here, went to school here. I worked for my father, John Elsa. He owned JE Electric, and I did electrical for quite some time. He retired during the pandemic at some point, and I have been working on the hike and the fund since then. So,
yeah, great. Well, this leads us into our next topic, which is the fact that you're hiking the Idaho Centennial Trail. And Phil and I are going to have a lot of questions about that. But let's start by having you give us an overview of the trail, the Idaho Centennial Trail.
So the Idaho Centennial Trail, if we refer to the ICT, that's kind of the abbreviation because we always kind of kick back to that. A lot of people in this area can get it confused with the North Idaho Centennial Trail, which is the 24-mile bike trail down around Coeur d'Alene Lake. They're different.
Yes, they're very different. this trail is 900 miles plus trail that goes through Idaho. It includes, it goes through three wilderness areas, the Sawtooth Mountains, the Selway Bitterroots, and the Frank Church, which is the largest wilderness Frank Church in the lower 48. It crosses 11 national forests. It was designated the state trail, just a little history, in 1990, the centennial year. So it is Idaho's state trail. Two gentlemen in 1986 by the names of Roger Williams and Sid Tate decided they wanted to design a trail that would walk all the way through, go through Idaho. So it took them 3 months. So there is a lot of discrepancies about the mileage of the ICT. Some clock it up to 900, some up to 1200. So it varies.
Actually, I have some clarity on that. You'll probably discover this. At a certain point on your hike, you're going to have a choice to make. You can go across the wilderness, which is not so friendly towards motorized vehicles or bicycles, or you can have an option to go around it, which you can do on your bicycle. And so the 1,200 miles would be if you did both of those options. But if you take either one by itself, it's about 900.
There we go.
Perfect.
And is it a fully functional trail that's a trail in all areas, or are you finding yourself, or would you say that you're going to have to like go along roads, et cetera? Tell me a little more about how it works in that manner.
It does follow some roads. The trail is, it disappears in some areas because it hasn't been maintained.
The Owyhee Desert, for instance, we walk close to 100 miles on a road. Mm-hmm. And that's where we first start.
Correct.
Yeah, the Owyhee Desert area. So there will be a lot of road walking and at the end of the trail as well, up here in our neck of the woods, up in Priest Lake, there'll be a lot of road walking.
So tell us a little bit more. How do you plan to get to the start? When do you expect to start and finish? Project ahead and tell us what you think it's going to be like before we interview you afterwards about what it was like.
Well, we were going to start at the beginning of June, but because of snow and the water crossings, we wanted to give it a chance to melt a little bit more and have the water be a little bit less when we cross some of the streams. So we're going to kick it back a couple weeks and start mid-June. We'll have to go down a couple days ahead of time before we start and cache water.
That's in the desert section.
Correct.
I think we hope to finish. We are expecting it to be about 2 months. It's going to be a very challenging hike. Lots of strenuous areas. Just for instance, there's one creek called Marble Creek, one area that's 25 miles in that area, and it has over 40 stream crossings, and some are waist deep. So there's a lot of areas that are going to be quite challenging.
Yes. And quite a few ticks in that section also that we've heard in the last couple of years.
Yeah. A couple that did it last year said you will be picking lots of ticks off you through the Marble Creek. So not only the stream crossings, but the ticks.
Yeah.
Are you going to have some helpers that will be there to provide food caches or anything like that? How are the preparations coming along?
You're going good.
We do have some help with the resupply boxes. We'll be having a few friends that are coming in to meet us on dirt roads so we don't have to hitchhike.
We will be doing resupply boxes like in Hammett, possibly Stanley. There will be a box flown into Campbell's Ferry, which is in the middle of the wilderness. We do have people that have offered also to like even if we needed to bring resupplies in by horse. And recently somebody had suggested that they could drop off more boxes, resupply food in some of the backcountry airstrips. So that's kind of an exciting possibility.
So this is your first long distance hike together, right?
Correct.
Pro tip, pack more food than you think you could possibly eat.
Hey, thank you.
You will eat it all. How have you gone about the planning, the research? Have you talked to some other fellow hikers or literature, websites? Tell us a little bit about the resources you've used.
So there's not a lot of resources on it. We've had to do a lot of research ourselves. There's trailjournals.com that I did a lot of reading on to also get inspired. There's a gentleman, Dan Noakes, that hiked it in 2018. And another couple guys that on YouTube, Wild West Trail, also hiked it and videoed it. So taking some notes and seeing what it actually looks like. That also like made us push back our lead date.
We've Zoomed with a couple that did it last year. We're in a Zoom call with them and they gave us lots of good tips. So it's really getting a hold of people that have done the trail before you, and there's not a lot.
How did the idea first come to you? When did you have that aha moment? This is something I want to do.
I'd say in 2018, I had that moment when I knew I wanted to do it. When I picked up the Spokesman and saw an article about a gentleman that had hiked the ICT, and I knew it was something I always wanted to do as a fundraiser. So for me, that was my first intro into it. And I wanted to do it because of mental illness and how important that is for me, because my son struggles. So we had planned to do it in 2019, but then the turn of events changed for us and it changed everything basically.
And the pandemic.
Yeah, and the pandemic.
So let's pause a moment and talk about that turn of events, because it went from being a very general fundraising concept to a very personal one. Tell us why and how that happened.
So March 13th in 2019. Let me go back. So my 25-year-old son, Ethan, suffered from schizophrenia, which is a brain disorder, and it's a serious mental illness that does require lifelong treatment. Ethan unfortunately took off from home March 13th, 2019. And the next time I would hear anything was from a medical examiner that phoned me May 6, 2019. And Ethan had been shot 6 times by a Spokane Valley police officer while experiencing a mental health crisis. He was later found that he was unarmed, that no crime had been committed, and that his toxicology report was clean. It's definitely a hard to talk about. I'm sorry.
Take your time.
That's when this happened. I was already going to be hiking the trail to raise awareness about mental health, to raise money for resources. And then this turn of events unfolded, and it even became more of an important mission for me to do.
So I think, Justine, anyone who knows you personally knows some of the basics of this tragic turn of events. And I will say on a personal note, it's remarkable, I think, how well you've done to channel that energy into some real positive direction. And so tell us a little bit more about that, about how you're taking the opportunity for educating others, for coping yourself with the hike.
I just feel like there's so much negativity and so much anger, and I didn't want to honor Ethan's memory that way. I wanted to honor it in a way that was, you know, positive, and I wanted his memory to live on in a positive way. And something that Ethan and I really enjoyed together was hiking together in the outdoors, whether he was in crisis or not. It I feel like the mountains really offered him a lot of solitude and peace, even when he struggled. So I don't know, for me, I even turn to nature and hiking when I'm going through hard times. I think it really helps with trauma and grief. And so for me, I had a couple choices. I could be angry and blaming, or I could turn this around and honor my son, his life, his legacy, and talk about it and help break stigma and raise awareness and educate people that may not know what it's like to have a loved one with mental health issues like my son. I just didn't want him to be another police shooting statistic. I want more for him. I want to honor the great things and the things we love to do together.
Yeah, that's really something. I'm happy to hear that you turn your thoughts to away from the anger and onto doing something for others, which did lead to the Ethan Murray Fund. Could you tell us something about that?
Yeah. So we basically started the Ethan Murray Fund in March of this year, 2021. I, again, like I said, wanted Ethan's memory to live on in a positive way. So we decided to start a nonprofit to honor Ethan and give money in his name. I felt in the grieving process, and I still do, that it feels good to help others and offer support. Our mission with the Ethan Murray Fund is to help offer financial support for any kind of mental health services, homelessness, addiction in North Idaho. Of course, to raise awareness and break stigma. Some of the examples, like, we want to be able to offer people our transportation costs to Coeur d'Alene, or an appointment, or assist with an addiction counseling or therapy, maybe help with medication costs. We want to support other nonprofits in our area as well, like NAMI Far North and Bonner County Homeless Task Force.
It's truly remarkable. Again, I want to reflect on your taking the opportunity to channel this into something positive and going from the hike being one in which you had a general concept before the tragedy that you would do something to benefit mental health, and then personalizing it with the hike for Ethan, and now taking it even the step further to the creation of the fund, which will transcend the trail experience itself. But link them together for us. First, right in front of you is this hike, and it's going to benefit the fund. So tell us a little bit more about how that works.
So I feel like it's good. They're going to go together in a couple like ways. So hiking is, for me, very therapeutic and healing. And knowing that I'm doing it for my son, for others, I want to bring a lot of awareness on the trail. We want to talk, have people be able to be more open and talk about mental health and the stigma around it, because the stigma really keeps people from accessing good health care that are stigmatized by it. So we feel, instead of just, you know, not doing the hike and going around and asking for donations, we wanted to challenge ourselves a little. I guess I kind of also wanted to know, like, what is it like to live in crisis every day? And doing a through hike sounded pretty much like that for me, since I'm a day hiker, honestly. So challenging myself and doing something I've never done before and not being able to have the comforts of home and a bed, and will kind of be as close as I can feel to Ethan, in a sense.
Yeah, quite a challenge. And I can't imagine anything harder to try than a trip like that when you've not done one. So you have selected a challenge. Will there be a financial element to the fund in connection with the hike itself? Are you hoping folks will donate and help support your support the hike, and then also beyond that, the fund?
Yes. So we are really excited because we're going to be working on the website this week to offer some fun little incentives for people to donate, or different ideas, so they can like sponsor us per mile if they want to do that. We've had a few people ask like, hey, we'd like to sponsor you guys 5 cents a mile. We're like, great. We've had other people want to make, you know, just strict donations to the fund. So we're going to kind of be working on that this week to make it a little more interactive. And how to follow that is definitely to check out our website, which is the ethanmurrayfund.org. And if you hit the link, follow our ICT hike, you can learn more about that. And we will be adding more on there as well.
So we have also a Garmin InReach, which will allow us to, on Facebook, it should be able, you should be able to follow us on our journey because it'll be able to ping it and give map updates. So hopefully we're trying to do that on a daily basis so that you can follow us along on our trail and see where we're at. And it might be on the website, but I'm pretty sure Facebook. So we're working on that.
So the, there is an element of financial support that people can offer. And then of course there's the opportunity with the hike simply to talk about things. It's an opportunity to have a platform, if you will. And there are also elements of personal discovery, I guess we might best say. Let's go into that one a little bit. What do you hope personally to, during the hike, what are your personal goals?
Oh gosh, personal goals. Well, we, our biggest one is that we, I'll say the financial part first and then I'll go into my own, but that we can raise the $50,000 is our goal for raising on our through hike. So we've had some really good donations come through. We're going to put a chart on there so people can follow along and see what we've raised. That'll be coming soon as well. I feel like the hike, this ain't necessarily a goal, but what it'll do is allow for a lot of grieving for me that I haven't been able to do because of everyday distractions, business and life. There's definitely a lot more that needs to happen. And I feel like there'll be a lot of healing. I'm taking Ethan's ashes along the trail again, because hiking was one of our big things that we enjoyed together, and it'll let me feel close to him. And just knowing that we're out there fundraising is very exciting because we can help others that are having trouble or in crisis. And just getting me out of my comfort zone definitely is big. I've never done anything like this. So it's definitely gonna do that for me.
There's a lot of personal time when you're walking long distances, and we've interviewed a lot of long distance hikers before, and regular listeners will know that's something I've had the opportunity to explore. And so I will just share that every hiker, I think, experiences some form of self-reflection, whether they intend to or not. You almost can't avoid it. So if you go in with that intent, I think you're going to find it's a really powerful experience. And we certainly would like to talk more with you, maybe midway and afterwards. And I think our listeners would like to hear more too. Will you be sharing those thoughts with the outside world, or are you planning on reflecting mostly personally? Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
On the trail, it's going to be pretty limited. We'll only be able to get to cell phone coverage or a place where we have internet. Maybe every couple of weeks, a week to every couple of weeks. So our journey will be split up a bit, but
we are going to try our best.
Yes.
We do have a Instagram and Facebook page, the Ethan Murray Fund. And we are hoping when we can post photos, and we are working with a local photographer who's going to come in on some of those spots. So we're hoping to send him back with some good images and be able to just have little updates from the trail. So there will be something. It may be far and few in between, but we, like Matt said, on our website, we will, that link, follow our ICT hike, have a map that we're able to hit the button and it will show you where we're at on the trail. So that's gonna be a big thing for people to follow along.
And people can follow that on the website then. Is there a subscription or should they just check back every so often?
Nope, they can just check back in at this point. We're pretty novices with making our own website. That was a journey in itself,
that was
Bill.
A challenge.
Yeah. <It's cool. There's laughs> we're doing our best.
So much that's so new.
The map isn't on Facebook or the website yet because we're not on the trail yet. So it's not up. We didn't want you to be following us on one of our favorite hikes through North Idaho.
Yeah, those are secret.
Are you doing a lot of good training hikes?
Yes, we are. We just hit Goat Mountain last weekend. Talk about a good uphill training with the backpack on.
Yeah. Definitely appreciating the new trails on that trail. It's one of my favorites, and it has made such a difference. She's the only person that's ever gone to Goat Mountain with me, or in our hiking group, and the beginning is wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, now that you have a little more time before you leave, there will be a few trail projects coming up on that particular one, so you'll have to sign up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a little curious about your the way the trip is going to progress for you. Do you intend to take any breaks, or are you hoping that you'll do it from start to finish without any vacations?
I'm hoping to do it from start to finish. Honestly, we're going to start on the Owyhee Desert and we're going to walk north. We call it walking home. So we basically will finish at American Falls and Priest Lake. And we're thinking it'll take us about 2 to 2.5 months.
Yeah. We may take a 0 day where we don't hike any miles. Once we hit a town, rest. If we need a couple days, like if we have a sore ankle, do our laundry,
eat a cheeseburger,
eat way too much, you know, might take us a few days to get back out there.
But yeah, we have heard of some pretty amazing hot springs that some fellow hikers have definitely told us to check out.
Yes.
So yeah.
plan on a few more days than you think you'll need too, because you just don't know.
We want to enjoy it.
Yeah. So that would put you up back up here, Canadian border, probably then about the end of August, which is not a bad time to be hiking up here in the north.
Absolutely.
Have you sorted out all your gear at this point? You're all ready with all of your equipment and stuff?
We've got a pretty good handle on it. Since it got pushed back from COVID last year, our gear has like continually evolving. Not that our old gear was bad, but like we have decided to go with a two-person quilt, the system, like it's evolving.
Yeah, an umbrella. I never ever thought I'd hike with a lightweight umbrella.
Took your advice, Phil. We got umbrellas. We're very excited about it. Phil is somebody else that we talked to, and if people don't know, is a Triple Crowner with his beautiful wife. And so Phil is somebody else that we got wonderful advice from and went with umbrellas. So it's
yeah. Phil, just on a little side note, the couple that did it last year, Lisa and Jeremy, I asked him, what was the one thing you wouldn't have hiked it without on this trip? And one of their things was the umbrella.
Yeah.
So
it sounds unusual to non-thru hikers, but the umbrella is such a multi-use tool between sunshade and rain shade. And I can't extol its virtues enough, but umbrellas, way to go. Well, that's excellent. Let's talk about the year delay. That had to be on some levels frustrating, and yet in some ways it has probably helped you to plan out more of the things we've been talking about. So let's dial back and talk about the original plans to do it last year and then the COVID delay.
I think it was like, it is a blow, and I was greatly depressed for probably about a month, because you just have that, oh, you're so excited to go, everything's lining up, and you're not. But you know, it's that always kind of going back to trying to be positive, and it is, we've had more time to change some of our gear, so it'll be better, lighter, which is going to be hugely important.
It gave us more time to train, honestly. I feel like we're so much more prepared. It gave us more time to really look at the smaller details. We've enjoyed so much more hiking up here. We have a Sunday hiking group we go out with every Sunday. And we also have been walking more every day. So it really gave us a good opportunity to, you know, take that moment, learn more about the trail, reach out to more people. So we feel pretty prepared.
And not only that, but to just know yourself, know your body, your limitations, what you can do in a day, know when to say when I need to stop and take a break or take care of myself is important.
Yeah, we learned a lot about taking care of yourself, Bill and Julie. I used to be the worst at like stopping. I'm like, feel a blister coming. I'm like, no, we're almost there. I'm not going to take care of it. And I would suffer so badly. Well, Matt has taught me this year that when you start noticing a problem, whether it looks like the rain is coming, take that extra time to put on your raincoat just to be less miserable. So I think learning that this year has been the biggest thing for me. It's like so great to go, okay, I think it's going to rain. I should put on my raincoat instead of just not wanting to stop. It's been priceless.
Yeah, it sounds like you've just become more experienced hikers in this year, which is great when you're undertaking something as gargantuan as the trail, this Idaho Trail. I have a question about whether during this year between this year of waiting, whether you took any sneak peeks on the trail, if you did any tiny segments or looked at trailheads. Have you taken some sneak peeks?
We do. We hike the area around here, the northern part, which a lot of people from the southern part of the state are nervous about, but we have such a beautiful area and trails. We do hike
we've been on the ICT a lot up here.
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've even backpacked and stayed the night up at Fault Lake, which is one of my favorite places.
And that's part of the ICT. You go right over Fault Lake to the Hunt Lake over in Priest Lake. So, yeah.
Yeah, we did hike up to Hunt Lake and scope that out because we had not actually been up and over there. So just knowing some of the routes ahead of time.
And our trails up here are in awesome condition. Everyone down south is very worried that we've talked to about our conditions. And I said, you know, we're very lucky because of all the great volunteers and people that care about our trails up here. They're actually in good shape. I don't have an issue with any of them that we've found up here so far.
I know Trails Association is working on a couple segments this summer. In fact, Julie is leading a women's only project on one part of the ICT, probably just before you get there. So you'll have to admire the new trail tread work on the Trestle Creek Trail 120.
Yes, ooh, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, I've got to ask a question before we move to the resources for those in crisis. But as a small business owner, it's probably always frightening to just turn the keys over to someone and leave for a couple months. And I couldn't even have imagined doing that during the COVID year last year. But things are starting to come back in terms of retail, yet still an uncertain time. How is it turning the keys over to someone and being gone for a couple months after having that business for 8 years?
Oh my gosh, Bill, it's so hard. The great thing is my employees are going to be amazing. I've had Elise with me at least 4 years. She's wonderful. She's going to do great. I have no issues, but I have to say the little part of me that's always enjoying the summer crowds and the people and how busy it's going to be. And it's really hard to, I have to say, I can leave the house, I can leave everything else, but the business, as Matt knows, has been really hard. I talk about it a lot.
Extremely stressful.
Just knowing that all the bills get paid. And like you said, it's a different kind of year. Just hoping that everything runs smoothly because there is no boss to call when you're on the trail. So, but yeah, it's been good. Lots of good preparations and we got all my hires in. So I'm feeling really confident and
yeah, that's good to hear because I imagine you'll be thinking about that as you're hiking, hopefully not too much though, if it's well covered. You know, you've talked about your goal for this journey and fundraising goal and your personal goals. And if you are able to, and hopefully you will be able to reach that $50,000 goal, what are your plans for that money? Are you planning on distributing it to other nonprofits or are you going to work on making donations yourselves? What's the plan?
Well, it can definitely shift. We have lots of big ideas for sure.
That's true.
But yes, we definitely want to help other nonprofits. I'm a big part of NAMI, which is the National Alliance for Mental Illness. And our chapter here is the NAMI Far North. I've done a lot of fundraising for them through my business. They have a lot of great programs in return they support, including one that I will share with you that I'm excited about. It works with our state hospital, North Orfino in Orfino, Idaho. And it's basically when someone is let out of a state hospital, they're usually not given any sort of things to leave with. They come there with just their clothes on their back. They're let out with their clothes on their back. So basically this allows them to, it's a grant or a donation can do this. And that's what we're hoping to do is give them a backpack with the necessities like a toiletry bag, a sleeping bag, things that will make it a little more comfortable for a few days until they find that place they're going to land. That was my son for sure. There was so many times he was let out of institutions with nothing. So just being able to offer someone a little more support like that is really important to us. But yeah, we want to work with Bonner County Homeless Task Force as well. They do a lot of great things here in the community. And like I said, back to our kind of starting this, moms, people that can't get medication. Ethan had no insurance. I paid for medical bills. I paid for medication. And sometimes it was really hard. So being able to offer someone, to get their son's medication or their daughter's or their loved ones is huge. It's life-changing, honestly.
So as we start to draw to a close, you've mentioned a few other organizations that are that help those who have mental illness. For those who are in crisis, what are some of the resources they can turn to in the immediate sense?
Well, for those like for family members and friends that have a loved one that is in crisis, like NAMI Far North here in Sandpoint is a great support system. They offer support groups once a month that is great. I use them a lot. They offer education. They advocate for people with mental illness. They're a great local group, and they're namifarnorth.org is the local one for that. Now, if you're in crisis, as many times as my son was in Sandpoint, Bonner General does not offer any services for those experiencing a mental health crisis. They will direct you to Kootenai Health ER, the behavioral health unit, psychiatric unit. So if you have a loved one in crisis, the best thing you can do is get them down to the Kootenai Medical ER, or they also have a crisis center, a 24-hour crisis center in Coeur d'Alene that's free to everyone. You can show up there and they will further assess you to see what you need, whether you do need to go to the ER, whether you need to stay there, but you can stay there up to 24 hours. And then I'd say my last, in Sandpoint is the Sandpoint Psychotherapy. They get people connected to services, therapy, case management. They have great support groups and like community-based rehabilitation. The Sandpoint Community Center is great for people that, want to know about more resources in the area or need more information on, therapists or psychiatric help and that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, this has certainly been, I think, of great interest to a whole lot of people on a range of topics, and we could probably go on for quite a while, but it feels like we're coming to a natural point to wrap things up. Do you have any final thoughts for us? Matt, it looks like you might, so why don't we start with you?
Yes, I have to mention one person in particular, Eileen Esplin, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. She has made us, 61 meals or 166 servings of freeze-dried meals.
For the trail.
So she really helped us a lot with our food, and that's just a huge donation. That's a personal donation from her to us. So I just wanted to make sure that we thanked her.
And to the community. My thoughts are this community is so generous. All their support they've given Matt and I, all the support they've given me through the years. We've just had so many people reach out, like Matt said earlier in the program, from someone wanting to bring in food horseback to a guy that will fly in food for us on airstrips. It's just such an amazing community of people that want to give back and are passionate about this. And it just feels so good.
Absolutely. And with donations also, and it doesn't have to be a big donation either. Even, that $5 donation does wonders. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can afford, they can afford what they can't afford. And some people donate even though they can't afford it. So Thank you.
That's right. Many folks giving a little is the same as one giving a lot. And it's an exciting project and adventure to want to be part of. And I think that would be a really exciting way to donate to your venture. So I love that idea of a donation per mile or an individual donation for this wonderful trek you're about to embark on. I did want to ask you if beyond financial contributions, if there are other needs you're still looking to have filled, are there other ways you need help before you embark on the journey?
Honestly, with friends that have come forward and helped us, we really, like I said, back to the community, feel very supported. People have stepped in to help with the website. We have people that are helping with media. Local photographer Doug Marshall just reached out and he wants to come in and do photography for us and some video recording while we're on the trail. So honestly, we feel pretty blessed right now with everyone's support.
Excellent. Well, you will experience undoubtedly that form of trail magic that you can't predict as well, and it'll happen out on the trail, and every hiker experiences it. We look forward to hearing more about your story when you're back. Perhaps we'll schedule a follow-up interview in the fall. And before we go, last chance for contact information for the website for people who want to follow along.
Yeah, it's www.ethanmurrayfund.org. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram on that. Thank you, Phil and Julie. It's really been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, you're most welcome. It's been a really educational and just moving interview. I want to thank you for joining us. I'm sure it isn't that easy to talk about it. You'll get plenty of practice, though. For those who are joining us and those who have stayed throughout the hour, this has been KRFY Community Conversations, and we've been talking about hiking the Centennial Trail for the Ethan Murray Fund with Justine Murray and with Matt Connery. It's been a great interview. Thank you both.